I'm not sure what when the last time I was here was. I don't think I was here last year. No. So since the last time I was here, I had a major heart attack. And that was 2023. So in the July of that year, I was in a meeting at Victory Life Center, and the visiting speaker came and started to prophesy over me. In the middle of his prophecy, he stopped and said, "Put your hand on your heart, your heart, your heart will never fail." And so I thought, what's that all about? And time went by, November came. I like to play golf every Friday with some friends. And on the 11th fairway of the Marengaroo golf course, I just hit one amazing shot. I just parred the hole before. So I was feeling pretty good that day until pain started to come in my chest. And as I'm walking down the fairway, I just asked my friend if he could pray for me, because I said, I don't know what it is, but I just got this pain in my chest, and slowly it got worse and worse. I said, "Thanks, your prayer hasn't worked at all." No, I didn't say that. Very good friend of mine. And anyway, they could see that I was in great distress, and so they called the ambulance, and the ambulance came down onto the 11th fairway and took me towards Charlie Gardner Hospital. While I was in the ambulance, after I just got in there, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, "Remember what I said to you in July. Your heart will never fail." I said, "Thank you, Lord. I'm not going to freak out. I'm not going to get worried here. I'm just going to trust you." And so when I got to the Charlie Gardner Hospital, all these people were waiting for me. It's like they rolled out the red carpet and took me in, put in a couple of stents, and that was a year and a half ago. I've lost 12 kilos, walking every day, still playing golf, and I saw the cardiologist in July last year, and he said, "I'm having a look here. There's very minimal, no damage to your heart." But every day, the first morning I got home, I was out the back having my breakfast, and I said to the Lord, "Thank you for rescuing me. Thank you for your word that delivered me. You sent your word and you healed me." And so every day I would just thank him, speak that word over my life. And so I'm expecting that the next time I see the cardiologist, which is in July, he said, "I don't need to see you for a year," that I'm going to get a great report from him. God speaks to us at the beginning of most years. There's a season, there's a timing, and God has spoken to you here at Hill City Church about transformation. And so I'm just going to come, and I'm going to continue to build into what God is already saying here to you, that you will experience God's transformation in your life. The scripture that you just read, the Amplified Classic says it like this: "And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold," and the Amplified Classic says, "in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into His very own image in an ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." When God speaks to us, He's determined to do something. This is God's intention for Hill City Church in 2025. There's a season and a timing of God in everything. That's how He works. He works in seasons and times. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, "To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven." Put your hand on your head. It's not Simon saying, it's Stephen saying today. You're part of the everything. To everything, There is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. You can take your hand off your head. We need to understand that God operates in his kingdom by seasons and times. If we don't understand that, we'll get very, very frustrated in our walk with God. So God is speaking at the outset of 2025 about transformation. That means there's a change coming in your life. There's a change coming for you individually, for your marriage, for your children, for your finances, for your health, for every dimension of your life. God wants to bring transformation. So when God begins to speak a word like this at the beginning of a season, first of all, there's three things he wants to do. Number one, he wants to encourage you. You may have come out of 2024 with discouragement, with disappointment in your life. Things didn't go quite the way you anticipated. So God knows that. And so he wants to encourage us, especially if you have been experiencing delay in your life. God's delay is not God's denial. Because God operates by seasons and time. And there's a purpose in every season for you. The word of the Lord, when it comes, is designed to move you. To move you from where you are to where God intends you to be. When God speaks, he has an intention. It's his mind, it's his will for you in the season that we have just arrived in. And so he wants to move you. He wants to take you out of depression into joy. He wants to take you out of fear into success and into victory. He wants to uproot you from everything that challenged you, everything that the enemy had oppressed you with. He wants to pull you out of that and bring you into his glorious future for your lives. The third thing that God does when he speaks like this to you as a church is he's putting a weapon of warfare in your hand. To be able to speak to situations and circumstances in your life that are declaring something else other than what God's intention is for your life. So Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you wage a good warfare. So every time the enemy would come to me and try to bring fear about my heart, I would say, God has already spoken. My heart will not fail. My heart will not fail. I just begin to declare what God had spoken over my life. So God says, in this season, it's our responsibility to take a hold of the word that has been given to you as a church and begin to use it like a battle axe against the works of the enemy that come and try and hold you in your old self year after year after year. God is into transformation. He's wanting to take you into a new place in this new season that we find ourselves in. The thing we need to understand about the kingdom of God is this, is that God does not operate by chronos time. That is physical time. He doesn't operate by our days, our weeks, our months, our years. He operates by kairos time, which is divine timing. So God has a season and a timing for everything. And we need to be like the sons of Issachar who understand the times. Not only understand the timing of God, but to know what we ought to do just like they did. We need discernment in this hour like no other season that we've ever been in. We are in a time in history where the church needs to walk in great discernment and great wisdom with God. So the wonderful Holy Spirit has been given to us. The Holy Spirit has been given to help us walk in that understanding and that discernment just like the sons of Issachar. The other thing you need to understand, that when God brings a word to you, He's speaking to your spirit. Let me say that again. When God comes and speaks His word to us, He's speaking to your spirit. If you don't understand that and you try to figure it out with your mind, with your natural man, then you are going to come into a place of frustration. You're going to come into a place of disappointment, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, this is what it says. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritually discerned. So when I look at you this morning, as beautiful as you all look, and men, as handsome as you are, I'm not looking at the real you. That's the natural man. You are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. And if you don't understand that, if you continue to walk as a natural person and try to access God's spiritual realm, you will not be able to do it. You have to walk knowing that you are a spirit. A verse that I've been meditating on over for the last couple of months is 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. It says, they that are joined to the Lord are one spirit with Him. The word joins means fused together, intertwined together with the Spirit of God. That means we are one. So I've been understanding that more and more, and realize that as I operate with God, as I minister for Him, it's not just me ministering. It's the Spirit of God joined with me in that. One spirit with Him. So when God speaks to you as a church, He's speaking to your spirit. Primarily, I'm spirit, and so are you. So seasons are pockets of time that are orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. They are opportunities that God opens up for us to be able to come into favorable conditions and situations to see a change in our life. They are also doors of opportunity that God opens for us. Now, inside every season, there's a purpose. There's an intention of God for that season. There's a purpose, and we need to come into line with the purpose of God for that season. And there's a timing inside of that season. There's a scheduled date or period for God to operate inside of this season of transformation that we need to connect with. Now, those first two, the purpose and the timing, cannot happen without what I'm about to say. It cannot happen without the anointing for that season. God releases an anointing for the season that we go into. Every new season, every new thing that God does, He releases an anointing for that to happen in our life. So that when a couple of months go by, you get to June and you're not seeing any transformation. You have to learn to tap into the anointing of that season, which I'm about to tell you what that anointing is in a moment. Just to help you understand how God operates in seasons and timing again, in Genesis 18, verses 10 to 14, I don't think I gave you that scripture, Pastor Joe, but it's about Abraham and it's about Sarah. And God comes to them in chapter 18, verse 10, and says, when the season comes around, behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now she's listening to the conversation in her tent. And the Bible says She was past the age of childbearing. In other words, she couldn't have children. She's past that age. So she has a little chuckle, a little laugh to herself, and then there's a conversation between the angel of the Lord and Sarah, and said, you know, why is your wife laughing in there? And then he asked the question, which I believe he would ask every one of us today about transformation. Is anything too hard or wonderful for me? Is anything too hard or wonderful for me? Because often we can say, well, you know, I've been walking with God for a few years, but nothing seems to be changing. There doesn't seem to be any breakthrough in the area that I've been wanting to see breakthrough in. So is anything too hard or too wonderful for the Lord? And then at the end in verse 14, he says, at the appointed time, when the season for her delivery comes around, I will return and she will have had a son. We know that that happened because the Bible tells us she gave birth to Isaac, and in Genesis 21, the first few verses there, she became pregnant and she gave birth to Isaac, which means laughter. So God had the last laugh in that situation. Now, it doesn't tell us in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, Sarah, even though she had a little chuckle in the tent, it says in Hebrews 11, verse 11, because of faith, also Sarah herself received physical power. Note that. She received physical power to conceive a child, even when she was long past the age for it. Why did that happen? The next part of the verse tells us. Because she considered God, who had given her the promise, to be reliable, to be trustworthy, and true to his word. I'm here to tell you this morning, God is reliable. He's trustworthy, and he's true to his word. And so the Chronos time met the Kairos time, and she gave birth to a miracle child. One day Jesus is at a wedding with his disciples. You can read about it in John chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. We won't go there for the sake of time. But they come to the wedding, and he's there with the disciples. Everyone's enjoying themselves, and the wine runs out. So Mary, his mother, comes and says, Jesus, the wine's run out. He says, so what? No, it doesn't say that in the Bible. But that's kind of the Aussie way of saying it. He says, what is that to me? My time has not yet come. I don't know what happened, but Mary says, whatever he says to do, do it. I don't know whether his heavenly father whispered in his ear and said, just do this for mum, will you? Just do it for her. So he says to the guys that are there, just grab those 6 pots and fill them up with water. And as they are doing that, as they are following in obedience to the word of God, there comes a transformation. That water is transformed supernaturally into wine. And everyone's saying, how come they left the best wine to last? A transformation had taken place. And I'm here to tell you that, you know, when the Bible talks about wine like that, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about the flow of God. There's a flow of the Spirit of God that's about to be poured out over you. It's about to be poured out over your family. That's going to bring a transformation. That's going to bring miraculous things into your life, into your children, into your finances, because the flow of the Spirit of God is coming to the nation of Australia. Often it helps to have a definition of something. So God is speaking transformation.
When we have a definition of something, it clarifies and helps us understand so that we can apply what God is saying to our life. So the word transformation means change. It means a marked change in form, in nature, or appearance. It's a process by which our figure, expression, or function is converted into another. A thorough or dramatic change in form or appearance. In the Amplified Classic, it uses the word transfigured, and that word means transform into something more beautiful and elevated. So God wants to transform you into something more beautiful, more elevated. He wants to take you higher. As the word says there, from glory to glory. But I want you to notice what the end of that verse says. By the Spirit of God. Unless the Holy Ghost is involved in your transformation, unless we walk with the Holy Spirit, I can't live without Him. I can't minister without Him. I can't preach. If you knew me before the Holy Ghost came upon my life, I was a quiet, introverted little person. Could not speak to people. But when God got a hold of my life, when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit with power, something began to change. You'll say, well, is that necessary? Well, apparently so. Because in my real estate office at the time, I had been driving around in my car and saying, God, there has got to be more of you than I'm experiencing. God heard my hunger. He heard my desperation. And He sent people to my real estate office to tell me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. People I didn't even know. They came looking to rent a house. And in that period of conversation with them, they started to tell me about the church they went to. People were getting healed. People, they can quote the scripture like I could, you know. So I knew something was happening. God sent somebody once, but then He sent another person I didn't know. Two different people. And before we knew it, Meredith and I are in somebody's home getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. And our life accelerated and changed from that point. So God wants to bring a change. And this, I want to now begin to help you understand the anointing for this season to bring the transformation. In John chapter 1, verse 16, the NIV says, out of His fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. So God is going to add more grace. We'll come to the Amplified in a minute. The Passion Translation says this, from the overflow of His fullness, we receive grace heaped upon more grace. The Amplified says, for out of His fullness, His abundance, we have all received, all had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. That's a whole lot of blessing, a whole lot of favor. I call it double grace. So grace brought you and I into the kingdom of God. Our faith gave us access to grace. It introduced us to grace, turned us over to grace. And grace is not some nebulous substance. Grace came in the form of Jesus Christ. Jesus came in truth and grace. And so, there are many facets according to 1 Peter 4:10. We are to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So there's many facets, many flavors, many colors of grace. There's saving grace. which got us into the kingdom, brought us out of darkness, brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. There's sanctifying grace, which refuses to leave us the way we were. It wants to bring transformation in our life, change in our life. There's serving grace, to be able to get up on here in the platform and sing and worship, to do things for God, not just in church, but out there in the marketplace, in your workplace, to serve God where you are. You need serving grace. But the grace, I believe, that the Bible is talking about here is the supernatural empowerment of God that comes upon a life. The supernatural empowerment that makes impossibilities a reality for you and yours. And out of that empowerment comes authority, comes power, comes strength, comes resources. So a new season has arrived, and it's the season of transformation by the anointing of double grace. The anointing of double grace. Zerubbabel, if you'd like to put the scripture up, Zechariah chapter 4, verses 3 to 9. Zerubbabel, and who is the governor of Jerusalem or Israel, and Joshua the priest, they've led the captives out of exile, and they're back now building or trying to build the temple of God. They're not having that much success with it. 20 years has gone by, and all he's got is a hole in the ground and a mountain in the way. And so the Lord visits him, and he has a vision of two olive trees that are either side of a bowl of a candlestick. And the Bible says here in verse 3 that it's feeding that bowl continuously with oil. So I asked the angel of the Lord with me, "What are these, Lord?" And the angel said and talked to me and said, "Do you not know?" I said, "No, that's why I'm asking you." No, he didn't say that. He said, "No, my Lord." And then he begins to tell him what he's just seen. He said, "This addition of the bowl to the candlestick, causing it to yield," I want you to notice this, "a ceaseless supply." The Holy Spirit has been here all the time. He's a ceaseless supply. He never stops supplying to your life. He's been sent to help you. He's been sent to teach you, to comfort you. But most of the time, we ignore him. But the Holy Spirit is coexistent, co-equal with the Father and the Son. And it says that it yields a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive trees, and the word of the Lord, and it is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. I'm trying to say something to you out of what you've just seen. And then he begins to tell him, "Not by might." Everyone say, "Not by might." "Not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." We're going to unpack that a little bit. He goes on to say, "For who are you, O great mountain?" And the Amplified Classic says, "Of human obstacles." What human obstacle is in your way? A human obstacle can be sickness. It can be lack. It can be pain in your body. It can be some sort of conflict in a relationship. Who are you, O mountain? You human obstacle, says the Lord of hosts. Notice who's saying it. God is saying it. "For you, who are you?" And then before Zerubbabel, "You will become a plain, a mere molehill. Now, most of us are like the rest of us. We like to make mountains out of molehills. We like to amplify stuff. We like to make something bigger than it really is. And the enemy loves it. He loves you to get into a place of fear so that you will magnify. Instead of in the ambulance freaking out, I'm going to die. By the way, they called it a widow maker, what I had. Instead of freaking out, we speak to that thing. My heart will never fail because God said it. You shall become a plain, a mere molehill, and you shall bring the finishing stone, the gable stone, the capstone, another version says, with loud shoutings of what? Of the people. Come on, Hill City Church. There's got to be some shouting coming out of this house. To the human obstacles, to the mountains that are in the way of your transformation. What are you speaking? Are you speaking the problem or are you speaking God's word and solution? Because there is an anointing of double grace that God wants to release here this morning. You're going to finish this thing, Zerubbabel. What you started, the foundation, you're going to finish and put the capstone, the finishing stone. So there are mountains in the way. There's human obstacles of sickness and financial struggle, of oppression and depression. Mental health is at an all-time skyrocketing high. But Jesus said something similar to what the Spirit of God is saying to Zerubbabel. He's teaching his disciples one day about faith. And by the way, faith will give you access to grace. Romans 5:2. It will give you access to grace and take you into the glory of God by the Spirit of God. So they noticed the fig tree that Jesus spoke to the day before has shriveled up and died. They said, Jesus, what's going on here? And this is what he said in Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. Not faith in your faith, but have faith in God. For if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, you will have what you say. And when you pray, whatsoever things you desire, verse 24, whatever things you desire when you pray, you shall receive them. Where will you receive them? When you pray, it says. You'll receive them where? In the realm of the Spirit first. When you pray, you'll receive in the realm of the Spirit. See, your natural man can't figure that out. That's why you've got to operate out of your spirit. And then Jesus says you will have them. Where will you have them? In the physical realm. But something has to come out of your mouth. You've got to start speaking, Jesus said. If there's obstacles in the way to your promise, you have to start speaking to those mountains and they will become a molehill. They will become a plain before you. So it's not by might, not by, in the Hebrew, your human strength, your physical ability, your military force, your efforts of man, not by power, your collective strength, your wealth, your influence, your political power. None of that is going to get the job done. But it's by my spirit. Now what God is not saying there is I don't need your ability, I don't need your intelligence and all. He's not saying that. But what he is saying is that your might and power, your ability, your intelligence, your know-how has to come under submission to the Spirit of God if you want to see a result. by my spirit. Spiritual victories and freedom are won through dependence upon God. Dependence upon the Spirit of God, not human effort. It enables you as a believer to accomplish what human strength cannot accomplish. It's divine empowerment that comes upon a believer's life. So how does this grace work? Well, I'm glad you asked me that question, because I'm going to try and help you with the answer to that question. Just like the sons of Issachar, we need to discern that this is the timing of God for transformation here. And now we need to know what we ought to do as well with what God has said. So how does this anointing of double grace work to get the kind of result that God intended for my life and for your life? Well, notice he says, the people shall shout, grace, grace, to that situation. What does that mean in the Hebrew? It means favor, favor, gift, gift upon that situation. It means double favor, double gifts. Take it even further. Double breakthroughs, double deliverance, double freedom, double transformation. He's going to double it up. If you and I begin to speak grace, grace, or favor, favor over our situation. The favor of God is the kindness of God and approvals that brings blessings and opportunities into our life. Favor is God's love that is often manifest by his divine assistance, his provision, his protection, and it's his special attention on you to bring about good towards your life. That releases blessing and success, protection and guidance. It releases and empowers you for purpose, and it even attracts human favor to you because God's favor is on your life. So I'm encouraging you this morning to begin to start shouting grace, grace over your situation. Whether it be your marriage, your finances, your health, whatever it is, that's the human obstacle. So this anointing of double grace is the supernatural empowerment and endowment of God upon your life. It's the strength of heaven coming over you. It's the Spirit of God himself resting on you. It's the favor of God on you as a believer. It's the kindness of God. You know, God is very kind. He's the kindest person I've ever met. He's the most wonderful person I have ever met. And so his grace is amazing grace. We sing that song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound of it. Saved a wretch like me. So the anointing of grace works to bring transformation, which is accessed by faith into our life. So as we start to come down for a landing here this morning, there's three ingredients that we must come into alignment with to continually activate this anointing in our life, this anointing of double grace. Number one, there must be an instrument or a means or a way that this divine, which is the power of the Holy Spirit, comes over our life. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. There is no demonstration of God's power on earth without the presence or the Holy Spirit being present at that situation. He must be present. Let me show you from the scripture in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through to 35. There's a young girl called Mary. And when I say she was young, she was probably 13 or 14. She's betrothed to be married to Joseph. And the angel of the Lord, in verse 26, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to her. She was a virgin. And this is what he said to her. Hail, O favored one, endued with grace. Hail, O favored one, endued with grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed, favored of God, are you before all other women. She becomes a little bit frightened, a bit disturbed. The angel says, do not be afraid. Mary, you have found grace, free, spontaneous, absolute favor and loving kindness with God. You'll become pregnant and will give birth to a son. She'll call his name Jesus. Talks about who Jesus is. He's the Son of the Most High. And his reign, there will be no end. She asks a question, which I think is reasonable. How's this going to happen? How can this be? She's 13 or 14, never been with a man. How's this going to happen? How can this be? And then he begins to tell her. And this is the secret to everything that God wants to bring about in our life. In this case, at Hill City Church, it's transformation. This is what he says. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Remember your verse, your flagship scripture for the year here? Right at the end of that verse, it says, even by the Spirit of the Lord. It can't happen without the Holy Spirit. What's about to happen for Mary cannot happen without the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to say, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud. And so the holy, pure, sinless thing, offspring, which you shall be born of you, shall be called the Son of God. Jesus said these words, without me, you can do nothing. You can't even be transformed without him. You have to behold him, the Amplified Classic says, in the Word of God. So that tells me something. I got to be in the Word. I got to be looking into the mirror of the Word of God, because in there, it'll show me what I ought to look like. I remember once I was meditating on that scripture in Romans 8:26, where it says that the Spirit of God makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So I'm just having a chat to the Lord and saying, you know, what's that all about? Well, he said, Stephen, when I look at you, and then I look at Jesus, because we're being transformed into an image, your flagship scripture says, right? So when I look at you, and then I look at Jesus, I go, oh, we've got a long way to go. There's a lot of adjustment needed here. There's a lot of change, a lot of transformation that needs to take place to look like Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is the key. Jesus told the disciples before he ascended into heaven in Acts 1, he says, don't leave Jerusalem. Don't do anything until the promise of my Father. Luke, I think it's Luke 24, verse 49 says, until you are endued. Another word for that is until you are clothed with power from on high. Acts 1:8 says you will receive power after that the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So power comes upon Mary. She supernaturally conceives, gives birth. Same thing happens for Zerubbabel. What was once a mountain now becomes a plain. But to be able to see the transformation, Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. If you operate out of your natural man, you will not receive the things of the Spirit of God, the Bible says. For they are spiritually discerned. All through the Bible, when the widow's son died, Elijah lay upon the child three times until he was resurrected. Spirit of God comes upon us. So there's got to be an intimacy with the Holy Spirit. If my transformation depends upon Him being present in my life and being activated in my life, I've got to develop an intimacy with Him. I've got to intentionally pursue and surrender daily to Him, have daily fellowship with Him, desire Him, spend time in prayer and fellowship with the Holy Spirit, develop a lifestyle of worship, be sensitive and obedient to His voice, cultivate an awareness of His presence, and try to avoid grieving Him, because He can be grieved. So there's an instrument that God uses called the Holy Spirit to bring about the change. And then, secondly, there is a method, a divine method, a process of achieving the goal of reducing the problem or the situation that's stopping my transformation. And it's the power of overshadowing. The power of overshadowing. That's the Holy Spirit's method. He overshadows us, which means to throw a shadow on something or a problem or someone to produce an intended purpose. The Holy Spirit wants to overshadow you in this new season to bring about the change and the transformation. When transformation comes, it transforms emptiness into fruitfulness. When the Holy Spirit was present at the beginning of time at creation, He overshadowed. When God spoke, He overshadowed and caused the chaos to become fruitfulness. Overshadowing takes care of the human limitations in our life. And the third and the final ingredient is we must have divine alignment. We must come into divine alignment. God doesn't do anything without our involvement. He needs your cooperation. Divine alignment is the power of agreeing in faith to what God is saying. Your pastor has bought the word of the Lord for the beginning of the year. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Transformation. It means you are saying yes to what God says yes to. That's His intention for your lives. And this is what Mary said, and we need to say it too. Let it be done to me according to what you have said. Let it be done to me according to what you have said, Lord. Father, we want to thank You for Your word. Thank You, Lord, for these precious people here at Hill City Church. This is a time for transformation in their lives. And I'm asking You, Lord, in these next few moments, that You come and overshadow them. I don't know what problem you have, what situation you have, what's blocking your transformation this year. But you need to begin to shout grace, grace to it. You need to begin to release that anointing of double grace over your mountain. You need to begin to speak to it. It says the people shouted shouts of grace, grace to that pain in your body. Grace, grace, to that situation that's happening in your marriage. Grace, grace to that wayward child, that prodigal son or daughter. Grace, grace to your empty bank account. Grace, grace over your job, over your business. Because God's intention is to bring a change, to transform what's happening in your life to something more beautiful and more elevated. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus for that change. Let's all stand to our feet.